It's like you're someone else, Bay.
Well, maybe I am.
As his Instagram page says, he may in fact be your mom's favorite actor, who was almost an accountant.
It was about my third year of GW studying business that I realized I didn't want to work in business.
Fame hit early, but he did put in the work.
I was an extra at first, which is, you know, just background on Saved by the Bell and, you know, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Now he's on a new show, Doc, that he loves because of its emotion and message.
The thing I do love about being part of a show like this, the voice of this show really wants to celebrate grace, compassion, second chances.
Actor Scott Wolf, right now on The Pulse.
I want to watch this show.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. You know what we do. We're sitting down with people who have cool stories, talking about their experiences. Sometimes we get to talk to people who we have similar backgrounds with. I didn't even know it. So, actor, G-Dub alum, Scott Wolf in the building with new show. Yeah. Welcome to The Pulse.
Thank you so much for having me. Good to see you.
Absolutely. Appreciate you coming in.
Sam, thank you. Yeah, I haven't met a fellow GW alum in a minute, so it's awesome.
They were fun times, man.
They were not terrible times.
Yeah. It was good stuff.
Yeah.
Lays the foundation for you to go out and do any and everything.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think that city college experience is unique. You know, it's not that big campusy thing, but I don't know. It the dynamics of it do, I feel like, prepare you in a lot of ways for almost anything.
But for this?
For this even.
Did this prepare you? Was it G-Dub experiences that said, I'm going to be an actor and do it well? Or was that just way after that?
It was kind of during. So I didn't go there to act. I went there to study business.
Okay.
And that,
did I?
As you did as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we each got bricks.
Yeah. side story.
It's a whole side story. But it was about my third year of GW studying business that I realized I didn't want to work in business. I had studied enough finance to know that was not my thing. And so I was scrambling, you know? I mean, I was just trying to figure out what was it going to be. And I wound up, so performance acting had always been one of the more powerful influences in my life. I grew up, my mom, you know, took us to the theater and, you know, watching performances in film and television was just something that affected me more than anything else.
Okay.
And so I could tell, you know, I was aware of this, like what I refer to as like the magic trick of, you know, when a show or a performance can just pull you in and you lose yourself in it and you're emotionally invested. And when I saw people able to do that and make me, as you know, a kid in New Jersey, feel things, and it was always amazing to me. I just didn't think I had access to it. Okay. And so the third year of college, once I was in this place of like, what am I going to do with my life, a friend of the family who had been an actor wound up like sending a letter to my dad. And after we had met at this party and was like, look, I had tried to be an actor and I'm not, I'm an accountant now, but I'm just struck. I feel like Scott's supposed to do that.
Really?
Crazy. And I know. And my dad, you know, shared that letter with me, didn't light it on fire and throw it in the trash.
We got bills. Like, stop sending my kid these
letters. That's right. And so I did go back to GW for my senior year, and there was a guy named Nate Garner, who has since passed, and he was the theater head of the theater department at GW. And I went to ask to meet with him, and it was a kind of a really important moment because I didn't know it at the time, but I had just begun to have this feeling of like, I think this might be what I'm supposed to do with my life. And I went to meet with him, and I said, look, I'm a, you know, fourth year finance major. He's like, all right. And I said, so I think theater and acting, I think this is what I want to do with my life. Yeah. And rather than saying, you know, like, I got people who have already been with me for 3 years and I can't help you. He said, well, what do you have in mind? And I said, well, if you can maybe help me create an independent study, and I'll like create a syllabus of books that I could read just so when I get out of here in a year, I'm a little more prepared. And and he said, that's
okay.
He said, okay. And so it was the first like gatekeeper, if you will, you know? And I think these people show up in our lives and some of them shut the gate on people and say, you know, go find somebody else or not now. And the fact that he just said, yeah, come on in was, I just feel like it was really important, and it's something I've carried with me. So like mentoring, you know, any chance I get to talk to people about the work, if someone's like, oh, my son thinks he wants to do it, I'm like, here's my email. Have him reach out.
For you.
Yeah,
and
because
it inspired you.
If I can gatekeep and be a green light and welcome somebody in, it's I think, especially early on, you know, I like to think if someone's meant to do something, they're going to get past a red light. But a green light and a welcome in means a lot.
It's such a, like the whole theme of this show, use your voice for good and trying to inspire people and what have you. But it's such an example of, one, somebody sends your dad a letter and you are, okay, let's do this. I'm going to go meet with somebody.
Yeah.
And that was in you. But also that whole difference that somebody who actually opens the door and doesn't squash your dreams can actually make.
And that he, and so my wife is great at this, by the way. Mm-hmm. And so many people this friend of my dad's, it was my dad's best friend's brother who sent this letter, who had been an actor. And he had gotten, you know, knocked around, didn't stay with it, couldn't make a living doing it. So many people would have not written that letter. They'd have just been like, man, this kid, I think he's supposed to do it, but that's crazy. And am I really going to write his dad a letter? And so the fact that he did it, again, I like to think I'd still be sitting here with you if he didn't, but I don't know that. You know, I don't know. And my wife is really great at saying the thing, sending the letter, letting someone know what she thinks
inspiring
about him,
people.
Inspiring people. Yeah. And, you know, there was a guy in our lives who was like, he came to the house as a plumber, and he was like incredible at what he did. And we got to know him a little bit, and he had come to work, and my wife found out that he was really good at a lot of stuff. And it was like, hey, you know, this other thing doesn't work, and electrical stuff and all these things. And she basically was like, look, you're a deeply gifted human being. You know, have you ever thought about just creating your own business? So he now has this full-fledged handyman business where he does all kinds of things for all kinds of people.
She helps speak it into existence.
If she had never said anything to him, right? And so it's like, that's say awesome. The thing. You're struck, and you and the thing you say, regardless of what it's going to do, you know, whether somebody takes it, like you said, he could have sent that letter and I'd have been like, that's crazy. I'm not doing anything with that. But yeah, say the thing. Say the thing to a person. Yeah.
There's a new show, and obviously we want to talk about the new show, but backing up a little bit, because you're telling that whole story about getting into it, what started into it. Mm-hmm. How long was it from that, and I decide I want to do it, to, like, your own Instagram page says you're your mother's favorite actor or something like that.
Yeah.
Party of Five.
Right.
And there were steps.
Absolutely.
But Party of Five was the thing.
It was.
Like, how long was it before you got the thing?
Well, from the time that that letter came, I still had a year left of college. But from the time that I made the decision, did the proverbial, like, pack up the, you know, Toyota Celica and drive to Hollywood, it was 3 years. Which, look, I mean, you know, if you had asked, you know, 21-year-old me who was driving to the West Coast, I'd have been like, give me 4 months. And I'll have this thing on lock.
Okay. 3 years is pretty good.
3 years is really good. And by the way, if it wasn't for that 3 years, I would never have been ready to meet the opportunity that Party of Five was. Okay. So all those steps, like you said, there was a lot in between, a lot of steps. And it kept feeling like, it was almost like there were these mysteries. You know, I would start auditioning for things. I was studying acting. And then I was an extra at first, which is, you know, just background on Saved by the Bell and, you know, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And I'm dating myself now. And what I saw was an opportunity to be on set without a lot of pressure. You know, I had never stepped foot on a soundstage before, been around television production. And so doing extra work, background work, you could show up. You just had to, like, wander behind Will Smith while he was, like, doing the hard part, saying lines. Or in Saved by the Bell, you know, in the high school. Yeah. And I was just studying. I was watching, listening and watching. And so my first learning experience was that, and just trying to get absorbing a sense of what this world is, so that when I'm standing where Will Smith is and I got to do the hard part, I'm ready. And
it was intentional. Like, you were actually going through that process even then, knowing that you were in a learning process.
100%. 100%. Really? And tons of my friends, you know, when they were like, well, how long are you going out there for? And I was like, well, I'm not going out there for a time. I'm going to do a thing, you know. And I believed in myself. I was committed fully with intention to that process. And I also had a sense in my mind of like, look, if a time comes where, you know, like the guy who wrote the letter saying I should do this, if a time comes where I'm not supposed to do this or it's not happening, you know, I hope I've been given the sense to be able to make a change. But yeah, the process was sort of like, you know, once I started auditioning for things, auditioning for commercials at first, and it was like not getting any kind of callbacks. A callback is like you do well enough that they narrow the pool. And now instead of one of 50 guys, you're one of like six.
Right.
And then you have a callback, and then they narrow it down until someone gets the job. Well, I couldn't get a callback. And then finally I got a callback, and it was like, oh, I have a sense of like why that went well. And then I'd get callbacks for everything. And then I was like, how do I get the gig, you know? And then little by little, it was like, oh, I booked one of these things. And all the way to 3 years in and Party of Five.
Steady progress.
And thank God, I was like, if I had gotten, you know, Party of Five after 3 months, I'd have flamed out, and I just wouldn't have been ready for it.
So was it that big? Like, for people who are familiar, and there's, I mean, you've been working pretty constantly since 94.
Yeah.
And extras and background, and then all of these roles.
Yep.
At 24, I think you said you were Party of Five, 24-ish.
Yep, 24.
Change your life?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was huge for a 24-year-old.
Changed my life in every way. And yeah, again, like very, very grateful that as a person and as an actor, I was ready as you can be for something that's life-changing in ways that, you know, there's no way to anticipate what the experience is going to be. And there's very few people you can talk to about, you know, what's this going to be like.
You're 24 and a star and can go anywhere. And you're working with people who, with yourself, would end up being stars.
Yeah.
Have long careers. What's that like? Like, there's not a lot of people you can ask that.
Maybe that's Will right. Smith. That's right. Yeah, exactly. Although he was by then, a huge movie star. And but so yeah, it was. I feel like Party of Five, in many ways, was the culmination of a process of a few years of building towards it. But it was very much the beginning of a whole new process, which was like really figuring out day by day, episode by episode, year by year, how to be an actor the way I wanted to be and what it meant to the person that I was wanting to become. And but I did feel like I wasn't, you know, I think when you're young, you can sort of feel up for grabs in a way, like at the mercy of things. And I feel like I just was not up for grabs at that point. I felt like I had really started to understand what the work meant to me, how important it was.
You were ready for it.
I was ready for it. And
grounded enough to handle it?
That's right. That's right. And I was playing 16, you know, and I was 24.
Right.
And so, which was kind of common at the time because, you know, if you cast under 18, you know, there's all kinds of child labor laws and rules, and it makes production a lot harder. So
Working young has its benefits.
It absolutely does. And if I looked my age, I never would have played Bailey Salinger on Party of Five. So I got a chance to play a character going through that really formative time of their lives because I looked a lot younger than I was. But yeah, it was, I mean, look, it was crazy. The one thing that I think, the moment that, you know, the show had sort of a slow start. And in a way, that was even helpful because it wasn't like, bang, super successful, you know, a very shaky experience. It was like, keep your nose down, do this work. Hopefully an audience is going to find us. But we were like,
earned it.
Yeah, we were like the best show you're not watching for a while.
I read that that show at some point was probably closer to being canceled than blowing up.
100%.
You know, and then it just happened.
Yep.
You know, and made stars out of all of you.
Yeah.
So it was, from that point, pretty consistently working, playing a doctor a lot.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Play a doctor a lot.
I do, like, I do. I don't know. I'm grateful because it's they're very cool worlds to inhabit and complicated, great characters. Yeah, so I've played four doctors on TV. And I don't know. I've played a lawyer. I've played other things, obviously, but Why? I don't know. I give off doctor vibes. I have doctor energy.
Doctor vibes. All right. So the new show.
Yeah.
Like, you're playing a doctor.
Yeah. Again.
Tell us, but this one's cool. Like, it's not that the others weren't, but there's all kinds of twists and turns. It's just getting started, so we don't know all of those twists and turns.
No.
But tell us about Doc.
Yeah, Doc is, you know, I mean, it is one of the, it's one of my favorite experiences I've ever had. So Doc is a hospital show by in its DNA and, you know, fits that mold in sort of very fundamental ways. I mean, it is, there have been hospital shows since the dawn of television, and I don't think television's ever been without hospital shows. And I think I've always, you know, one of my favorite shows growing up was an old show called St. Elsewhere, which, do you remember that show at all?
Dude, man. Yes, stop dating both of them.
I know.
Yes.
But
we remember St. Elsewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
sure.
I mean, Denzel Washington and David Morse, who's one of my favorite actors, and just a great old show. But there, I mean, it's life and death, right? The stakes are enormous, which is always great for storytelling. And, you know, I think it's something everybody can relate to, and it's going to touch our lives in one way or another, for better or worse. And so, so I think that's why hospital shows are compelling to people. And it's hard to take something that's existed forever and tell it in a really new way. And Doc has found a way to do that in such a beautiful, profound way. It's based on a true story. And it's a true story of a doctor who has is an incredible physician, saving lives, and has a terrible accident, and through an amnesia, loses a giant chunk of their lives, doesn't remember it at all. So Amy Larson, the doctor at the center of Doc, loses 8 years of her life. And when she comes back, it's like it resets life for her and but for everybody around her. And so so the show becomes really about, you know, her having a second chance. What she comes to find out pretty quickly is she doesn't remember the person that she just was the day before.
Right. Which may not be a bad thing.
Well, for her, the person that she had become because life had lifed was a person she never would want to be. You know, she was very coarse. She was hard. Her bedside manner was cold. She made people feel bad. And she had been an incredibly warm, compassionate person. She comes to find out she has lived through incredibly some of the hardest things life can do to a person. As a parent, it's crazy. I mean, still, it makes me emotional.
See you. It's,
yeah,
talking about this show is making you emotional.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is not acting,
or is it? No, it's why I make the medium bucks. no, but you know that what's kind of cool at this part of my life, you know. And this is happening when I'm talking about is something that's as special as Doc is. You know, this character is one of the cooler, more complicated characters I'll ever have a chance to play. Yeah. I'm so grateful to be part of the show. And so the character I play, Dr. Richard Miller, has the most complicated relationship with Amy. So what we come to find out is at one point they were very close. When we meet them now, the person she's become after she lived through some of these very difficult things over the past decade, they have a very, very coarse animosity between them. And one of the first things
the
you
good
see
Amy has a coarse animosity with you.
Well, the
so
when you
may not be very nice.
Well, the good Amy. It's funny, you know, who's the good Amy? Who's the bad Amy? This is one of the beautiful questions of the show. The Amy that is. The day before her accident, or the day of her accident, the Amy we meet is the person who has lived through a decade of very complicated things. Okay. And she has become chief of medicine. She has dug her nose into her work to kind of heal from some of the things she's gone through. And I always believed myself to be the person who would become chief of medicine. She always believed that too. But when life hit her hard, she decided that's going to be me. And when she took that role and was given that role, it began a process of us drifting from each other. And then the coarser and colder she became, the more difficult it was for us to relate to each other. So when we first meet, you see a real conflict, and she even makes an accusation about a mistake she thinks I made that I deny. And then the accident happens.
Okay.
And so
you're good at this, man. You should be an actor. We're sitting here setting the stage. We're sitting there going,
hang on. Oh, I know. I want to watch this show.
I promised you got 1,000 shows to do.
Okay.
So I have to let you go.
You do now?
I do. You should come back because we got a lot to talk about.
I would love to.
But before we wrap, two more things quickly. Because as I pointed out, the whole theme of this show is the concept of use your voice for good.
Great.
It seems like that in a lot of ways has kind of been the foundation of your career. You're not out there causing drama.
I try not to be.
Or maybe you do, and it's just acting. But when you hear use your voice for good, what does that mean to you as an inspiration, as the next generation, as opening those doors you were talking about?
Yeah, I mean, it means everything to me. I feel like I have really tried to to live my life by this use your voice for good. Mm-hmm. And I don't see that as just a use Scott's voice for good. I think my artistic voice matters to me. You know, the characters that I play, the characters I choose to play, the projects I choose to be a part of, that to me is my voice. And so, you know, trying to be part of telling stories and commit myself to telling them in a way authentically and with my whole self, put every bit of my passion and commitment. The hope is, and this started with Party of Five, you know, that character, that story meant a lot to people. And it served as a companion piece to people's lives. It wasn't just entertainment. Yeah. We seek first to entertain. If these shows aren't entertaining to people, they're failing. But you can do more than that. You know, you can entertain and really touch people's lives, tell stories that matter to them, tell stories that people are really living through. You know, these cases that we tell on Doc, you know, people are living through these things or things like them. And so I think using our collective creative voices for good matters a lot. And in my personal life, my wife and we've been involved in a ton of charitable, you know, philanthropic efforts of our own, mm-hmm. been part of charities that we really believe in terms of mentoring, you know, other people that are aspiring to do the kinds of things that I've done, paying things forward in that way. I mean, look, we are living through a time right now where we're being sold a bill of goods, man. You know, we're being sold a bill of goods. We're being told that there's more that divides us than unites us, that the power of our differences and our conflicts matters more than the things we have in common. And you know what? I mean, look, you know, we don't have to, it's not a political thing, it's a human thing.
Yeah.
You know, 99% of how we think, feel, and do is the same. You know, we all want the same things for ourselves and our kids and our neighbors and our friends and people we love. So
it's up to us to do it. Yeah.
And I appreciate you being a voice for that. And yeah, so I feel like, you know, hopefully, you know, what the thing I do love about being part of a show like this is we entertain first, but we're aspiring to do other things too. And the voice of this show, really wants to celebrate, I think, you know, this idea of grace, compassion, second chances, knowing that there's more than meets the eye with anyone we encounter. And I, you know, I can say, just to wrap it through, you know, the reason I'm here, which is, you know, talking about this show, Doc, you know, there's this theme of second chances, but then there's also this really powerful theme of all these characters are going to travel through the course of this season and onward. And just when you think you know somebody and what they're capable of and how you feel about them as a character, this show is going to surprise you and turn things on their heads and force you as a viewer to ask yourself, like, might that be me if I was in that circumstance? And maybe I should be a little more open-minded than I have been about these characters and about the people I encounter in my life.
Be watching this show.
Watch it.
All right, we got to go. Scott Wolf, thank you so much
for spending
some time with
us.
I appreciate you. I will be watching. I have been watching throughout your career. G-Dub.
Yes.
Like Kindred Spirits. It's good stuff.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you so much.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast today with actor Scott Wolf. You may remember him from Party of Five, but really, he's been on a ton of shows throughout time, playing doctors a lot. A good dude. I found out that we went to the same place, GW, the George Washington University, so that makes him that much better of a dude in my eyes, but I really enjoyed the conversation, some of the things he's doing, and just the type of person that he seems to be. I hope you enjoyed it as well. Hit like, subscribe, follow, whatever you see on your screen so you get a notification every time another episode of The Pulse is available. Every week, you can hit me up on social media at Bill A. Fox 29. You can download the Fox Local app. So many ways for you to stay in touch with us and up to date with everything going on in The Pulse. And I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.